Nice to have everyone back with us here on this Saturday night. And don't forget, Priest Ranch Wines, absolutely the best. And there's so much going on with Priest Ranch Wines. Check them out, info at priestranchwines.com. They've got Instagram virtual wine tasting, which I may be part of at some point. There's pickup up at the Yountville tasting room up in St. Helena as well. But Priest Ranch Wines, there is, I'm telling you, there's nothing better. There really is nothing better. So there's a lot to look forward to, and there's ground shipping and all sorts of delivery deals. So check it out, info at priestranchwines.com. All right, a man who loves the wine, and we love to give him some when we see him, and that is Alex Pavlovich of NBC Sports Bay Area. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Pretty good. Everything is going well, and I'm sort of getting geared up. I just believe that the month of June we'll have some sort of spring training. There will be some sort of agreement, and I think we're going to be playing ball in July. Do you share that?
I think they're going to try. I don't know how long it'll last or if they'll start on time, but I certainly think they're going to try, and I think I'm like you in that I've gotten to the point where I'm putting some time away, at least in terms of what I do in my head, to start thinking about like a 30-man roster, a 50-man roster, a taxi squad, which is a nice break from, I mean, this is what we do all spring. So it's a nice break from trying to figure out like what the 2022 season might look like or when we'll be able to go outside. I think it's been nice to see that they're, you know, far enough and trying hard enough that I think you can start to at least think about a roster and then what a season might look like.
Do you believe that we will see baseball in July?
I think if I had to bet, I think we will. There's a lot at stake here, and I really hope that maybe the adults in the room stand up and they realize there's nothing else going on. This is a real opportunity for a sport that has not publicized itself very well in the last decade to really grab hold of the sports scene. And look, I know soccer's returned in Europe and we have the KBO, but I don't think that's really made an impact in America. But I think if you have 30 teams return, 29 teams in this country return in July, it's going to be a huge deal for the country if they can do it safely. And it's going to be a huge deal for the sport. They're going to have all eyes on them.
That was very, very deft of you, 29 teams, because one is in Canada. Is that correct?
I always forget about them. I don't know what they're going to do. I mean, that to me is probably one of the little complicating factors. I know some countries you have to quarantine for 14 days when you get there. So I'm not sure what the Blue Jays are going to do. I don't know that I've read anything about that, but I'm sure that's part of that. You know, we saw the 67-page document they had. I'm sure part of it deals with the Blue Jays.
Yeah, I can see that coming. I haven't looked completely, and I won't put you on the spot too much here and trying to explain a playoff picture, but I think I do understand that there will be the NL West, there will be the AL West for separate standings, if I'm correct, and the Interleague would be against that division, and also the games within the division would make up the rest of the schedule, of the 82-game schedule. Is that the way you understand it, and we still would have the NL West to see who wins that division?
Yeah, I think everything I've heard is that it would be, you know, the Giants would face the NL West and then the American League West to limit travel. So probably, I hope they have some fun with the American League, especially if there's universal DH. I wouldn't hate seeing the Giants and A's play each other a dozen times. I think that'd be a lot of fun in the Bay Area, and certainly makes a lot of sense logistically. But yeah, I hope they do that. I think it's clear that they're going to have some plan like that, and I hope they do that instead of just, you know, facing the Rockies 23 times or whatever it would be. I don't know. Less than that because it's 82 games, but it would be cool if they spread it out a little bit and we see more of the American League teams.
Yeah, I was thinking about it because now you see the Rockies 19 times, so that, you know, 4 times 19, 76 within the division. So let's say you saw the other four teams 14 times, so that's 56. That would leave 26 games against the AL West. So I guess you could do that. I assume there'll be some sort of schedule like that. Who knows? But I'm way ahead of myself, but I think that's what we've got ahead of us.
Yeah, and I, you know, one thing I'm curious to see is whether they, you know, whether they go towards things being fair or whether they go towards things being as safe and logistically easy as possible. Because if you want to make it as safe as possible and as easy for players as possible, I mean, the Giants and A's would play each other a ton, and the Giants would go to Los Angeles and play the Angels five times and then play the Dodgers five times. And I think that is one question. Do you do that, or do you worry about the fact that maybe it's not fair for the Giants to have to play the A's 15 times? So I hope they just go with safety and tell teams, like, we're sorry, it's maybe not going to be totally fair.
Okay,
this season,
all right.
But
Good. That's a good column. That'll be a good column when we get to that. And I think we are going to get there. So that's going to be interesting. You bring up a good point. You don't want to be playing the A's 15 times. That may not do the Giants a lot of good. Which brings me to this next point, and that is there are no fans. And let's assume everything, they make their deal and the health issue and all on the money. And, the games are in San Francisco. There are no fans. And the games will be on TV. They'll be on the radio, I assume that. Does it matter if they win or lose, to tell you the truth, for the Giants? Wouldn't it be more important to get Joey Bart and the rest of the crowd up here and give them a year of development than trying to sneak out a 37-45 season?
So that's something I've been thinking about a lot over the last week, because Gabe Kapler was on KMDR on Monday and did say that they've even gone as far down to Luciano and Canario and Bishop and talked about what it would mean for those guys to be able to be part of a camp for a year. And I really think it's a fascinating decision. And I think if you're the Giants or any team, really, I mean, if you're a team in a similar spot that is more looking towards the future, you have a really interesting decision because it's a shorter season. So in theory, for an 82-game season, they should have a much better shot. It's staying in a playoff race, especially an expanded playoff race. But at the same time, if you go into that season and say, you know what, I don't really care about carrying, 20 pitchers who have big league experience and guys who can help out if somebody gets hurt. My main focus is 2021, 2022. I'm going to put Bishop in this group. I'm going to put Ramos in this group. Sean Gelly's going to be in my bullpen. Joey Bart's going to be here. Luciano and Canario, as young as they are going to be part of our taxi squad. They're going to be working every single day instead of being at home or being in a situation where they can't play games. You do really have a big advantage over other teams for 2021, 2022. And if you look around this division, the Dodgers are in win-now mode. The Diamondbacks are in win-now mode. I don't think that the Padres can afford to take another year to rebuild. So those teams, you assume, will fill their rosters and their taxi squad with players who can help them this season. If you're the Giants and you go the other way and just go young and make this kind of a development year, it's going to hurt this year, but it would have hurt this year anyway. And I think there's a lot to be gained potentially if they want to do that and say, look, Luciano might be far ahead of other guys who are similar prospects because he was in camp all year.
I agree with you 100%. I really do. It's another fascinating column you're going to have. You got a lot of work ahead of you. So,
I know. I shouldn't have said it out loud. But.
Look, anyone who's thinking about baseball, it's connected to it like we are, because down at spring training we have every day to talk about it together. So these are things we talk about. Alex Pavlovich with us, NBC Sports Bay Area. Which brings me to someone who's part of the show tonight, and that's Kyle Haynes, the Director of Player Development. Is there a guy who has more on his plate than him? I mean, he's got minor league teams disappearing. He's got salaries to pay of staff. He's got the issues you just brought up. He's got a draft coming up. I'm not sure there's a more important person in the whole organization than this guy.
Yeah, I don't think there's a busier person at the very least. And Kyle already was somebody who, I mean, had a reputation even coming up as somebody who was going to work every single possible minute of the day and really is a grinder. And had that reputation as he was coming through the organization, really has been kind of a shooting star for them. Going back to, Bobby Evans was telling me about him years ago and about how impressive he was. This is a busy time for Kyle. I'm glad you managed to get him, but I would say keep it short because he probably has a lot of work to do.
Yeah, no, he as he said, he's got so many variables ahead of him that, because I threw these kind of questions, and when we chat at him, but you can't really give an answer, but you can bet your bottom dollar he's thinking about just what you and I talked about, and that's got to be it's got to be on the table for him. So interesting. We'll see where that goes. You had a couple of course, you know, you always come up with interesting lists and stuff like that. This week you got me with another one, the most sort of disliked opponents for the Giants. Did you get a lot of response on that one?
Yeah, you know, I texted you, as I usually do when it gets into a historical subject, and you had a lot of great names, and then I realized we were trying to limit it to five, and I realized that I had way too many, so I limited it to Oracle Park in, you know, the last 20 years or so, and I actually found the best way to do it was I texted my fantasy football league, and a lot of these guys grew up Giants fans, and I just said, who did you guys hate? And that was where I had Chase Utley on the list, because literally every single person, and you and I texted about him a little bit, and how he doesn't really have, like, too many moments that stand out. But every single person I asked who grew up a Giants fan, I said, who did you hate from the other side? And they mentioned him. Puig obviously was on the list. A friend of mine mentioned Scott Cousins, who I had forgotten at first, but it's a clear choice. So, yeah, it was fun. And I think, you know, not too many villains, not as many Dodgers as I expected hearing from people, but it was fun to hear those players that, you know, when they come in, other guys. And I posted the story, and literally the first comment was, like, from somebody who went, I'd never liked watching Chase Utley. So it was 2 minutes in after that went up. It was interesting to hear that. And a good question for your listeners is kind of, who are those guys who, when they came in, they would boo no matter what?
Yeah, I thought you did a good job with it. Utley is on the list. Matt Latos, obviously. A.J. Pierzynski, who probably wasn't hated until he got here. Then after he left, he was hated. Puig and Scott Cousins, of course. Scott Cousins took Posey out. But the one that you led off with, which was pretty good, and I'm not sure it was if you had to be human to be on this list, but the Rally Monkey from 2002. Did you get action on that? Did you get action on that?
I did. You know, one of my friends is an Angels fan, and so he was sending us Troy Gloss and then all these guys who had an impact in that series, and somebody else that I didn't really care about any of those guys. The one thing that drove me nuts back then was just seeing the Rally Monkey, and I remember that too growing up, and just every time you saw the Rally Monkey, I think everybody just hated that little monkey. So it's cute, and it's funny to look at the history of it. It was actually a little female monkey that they brought in just for a few years, and there's a lot of stories about the Rally Monkey, but I think if you were on the other side, especially in that World Series, you hated to see that image when they would show the scoreboard and all of a sudden the monkey's up there trying to get the Angels fans fired up.
No, it was wild. It was great to see it in the article. So it's posted NBC Sports Bay Area. You can take a look at it. But very good. I contributed a little bit, and, of course, I go back a little ways. But, of course, I said Don Drysdale. I thought Tony La Russa and Sandy Alderson in the late 80s, they hated the Giants and did anything they could do to beat the Giants, even in spring training. Daryl Strawberry, I remember when he'd get booed pretty good here. Reggie Smith got booed and then became a Giant. Hershiser got booed pretty good here. But, yeah, you go backwards. There aren't that many that the fans really, really – probably Pete Rose got booed a lot, I would imagine. I don't remember, but probably him too.
Yeah, I might have to revisit at some point, especially when we're able to be around people again and sit down with Kruk and Kipe and sit down with some of the coaches who were around back then and just say, who did you hate? Because, they always can tell you two or three guys right away.
Yeah, maybe Lasorda. Maybe, you know, he was sort of a lovable hate, you know, in a way. Because by the time he was done, people, you know, he would mock the fans back and they would mock him. So he's kind of a character as well. What's up with the podcast for you this week? What do you have on?
We had Rob Brantley this week, who was, I don't know if you've had Rob, but I always love a backup catcher. We had Stephen Vogt here. We had Nick Hundley here. The backup catchers are usually the best quota on the team. So it was fun talking to Rob, and certainly an interesting time for catchers. They have to do a lot of work to keep ready from a defensive standpoint, which is hard to do when you don't have people around you. So it was fun talking to Rob about that.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, Alex. Once this, and I do believe as we started this segment, Alex Pavlovich of NBC Sports Bay Area you know, it cooler heads should prevail, grown-ups should prevail, and boy, there's a lot ahead for baseball, isn't there? Isn't there a lot ahead, a lot of things that have to be determined? I mean, come on, this is making, you know, the normal spring training look like, you know, a day, I don't want to say a day at the beach, that's always a hot topic these days, but that's what it feels like.
Yeah, I mean, I think once you get past the health issues and figuring out how to keep players healthy, I mean, they're even arguing on whether they can use, like, those therapy pools, the cold tubs. You get into the details of it, and it gets insane. I mean, I saw something, the players want to be able to shower, and the owners say that's maybe not safe. The players want to at least shower before they get on a road trip, which makes sense, certainly, if they're going to hop on a flight. So there are a million details to be sorted out, which is why you hope that they figure out the finances at least and then get on to the little details, because they're going to start playing too. And, you know, every single day something's going to come up that nobody had thought of.
Oh, absolutely. Boy, a lot of fun. All right. Good to hear your voice.
Yeah.
Follow you on NBC Sports Bay Area and keep the interesting comparisons and columns coming. And we'll catch up with you in a couple of weeks. So be well.
All right, Marty.
Thanks, Alex. Thank you.
Yep.
All right, that is Alex Pavlovich, NBC Sports Bay Area. 104.5 and KBR 680. More coming up right after this.